And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindemann, being joined once again by one of my many co-hosts, the Red Ranger, Miss Sasha Kaplan.
I am the one and only Red Ranger, ready to charge and fight Rita. So, it's not much of a fight, but it'll be fun.
All right, and today we're going to be doing I Guy for Whom the Bell Trolls and Happy Birthday, Zach. So with that, we're going to hop right on into it. Everyone's favorite segment. In my mind, it's a quick run-through for I Guy. And we're at Billy's Garage. The Rangers and a kid try out some VR project. That kid, you guessed it, his name is Willie. Willie made it for the science fair. While walking to the youth center, they get attacked by putties. Nice teamwork and good leadership by Jason on this. Finster reminisces about iGuy at the science fair Billy and Willie set up. That just sounds so wrong. Billy and Willie. Bulk and Skull arrive and they start bullying a kid. But his invention makes Bulk's pants disappear. Billy and Jason are standing up to Bulk and Skull, and Zach embarrasses Skull. Billy and Willie cart Bulk and Skull into a women's project, and Bulk and Skull come out in drag. Something that actually both Jason Narvey and Paul Shire have absolutely no problem doing at all. Kudos. But with actions comes consequences as Willie is disqualified. Willie runs off the press and Billy chases after. At the park, Willie is captured by iGuy. Billy, Zach, and Jason are looking for Willie. Zordon contacts Rangers and briefs them on what's going on, which then they morph into action. They use the power blaster right away, but to no effect as they didn't hit the main eye. Zordon tells Billy the main eye is in another part of the park and goes after it. Billy destroys it with the power lance, and Rita makes iGuy grow, and it's Zord time. You know what that means? They won. Willie meets the Rangers, and back at the youth center, tells Billy and the others about it. And then the judge and Ernie are enjoying Willie's project and wins first prize after the judge apologizes to Willie for disqualifying him earlier, without realizing that it wasn't Willie's fault. So that, ladies and gentlemen, was I Guy, which clocked in at 19 minutes and 16 seconds.
Yeah, so Billy and Willie, the writers were so creative with the names.
So lazy.
So creative.
But at least they named the character at the beginning of the episode again, unlike last episode where we did different drum, where they didn't name Alyssa till the end of the freaking episode. You know. So,
no, that's fair. But you have to also remember that last episode when we talked about the kid character, her name was Maria, which is like the number one girl name ever. I mean, it wouldn't have been more cliche if they named her Mary. But so now we have Willie. I can't wait for Joe, Peter, Adam. but let's talk about the fact that the kid invented VR. This kid invented VR because at the very beginning of the episode, they actually test out the machine in Billy's garage, and they're like on a roller coaster. This child invented VR. Like, that's pretty dope. This kid deserves some praise. But I don't understand Bulk and Skull showing up to bully a bunch of kids at a science fair, especially because, like, why?
Well, for one, they arrived because they thought they were going to an actual fair. And then they saw the sign and they're like, yeah, you obviously didn't read the full thing. You just saw a fair and you didn't see the science part in front of it.
Good enough excuse, but whatever. There's one kid that made their pants disappear, but then it should be noted that instead of wheeling Bulk and Skull out the door, Kimberly and Trini suggest they send him into this one girl's machine. which is, I guess, a makeover machine. And you know what? Bulk and Skull make really good girls. Like, they make some pretty females. Like, good for them.
Whenever it comes to costumes, they're the best ones to always put in costumes.
And always.
And we talk about it later in the episode, in the season, where, like, they're trying to get the costumes for, like, a Halloween party. And, like, they try out all these different outfits, and then they do the Elvis costumes, and it's like, yo, that's awesome.
They are the unmistakable MVPs. I'm still not quite clear why Willie gets disqualified.
Because the judge thinks that he was the one that started all the chaos at the fair.
Right, but he has no evidence of that, and there's literally no evidence of that. So it's just, like, random fodder for the episode. But you could argue that, technically speaking, it was Kimberly and Trini that led to Willie getting disqualified because they told him to wheel the guys into the machine. But at the same time, like, nothing bad actually happens. And he could have asked for witnesses. Like, people were about to defend Willie, but he just didn't care. So
But at the same time, Willie also did all the others of, like, two other people a favor by A, showing off an invention that can make your pants disappear or just make an object disappear, and then help the one woman out with her clothes changing invention.
Not just clothes, it did makeup too. It is a complete makeover machine.
Yeah, so it's like, so in a way, Willie assisted two other contestants.
Right, so this just makes him getting disqualified so much dumber, but... which just makes the reason he got disqualified significantly dumber, because he showed up other people's inventions. Rita kidnapping the kid is actually kind of smart, because again, he literally invented VR technology. Who knows what else he could invent, especially for an evildoer like Rita. Maybe he could invent a laser she could use to, like, actually destroy something other than the abandoned warehouse district,
which gets rebuilt quite often,
right? If I understood it correctly, it's kind of implied through the Sentai footage that this eye guy is like some child kidnapping monster.
Well, it kidnaps the smartest children.
Okay, that makes sense.
That's why you saw a Willie. I didn't note it in the thing, but Willie went to a really scary space camp. Because if you remember, he's in that wheel thing that's spinning around. That's like something that they would do at a space camp or something like that. And it's like, Willie signed up for the wrong space camp.
Well, all's fair in love and war, or in this case, bad guys and good guys. So obviously Willie wins the science fair after the monster fight. And I guess it's Ernie who actually sets the professor straight and is like, no, dude, this was Bulk and Skull's fault. Willie is innocent. But... oh, also, one final note. The girls actually shrunk Bulk and Skull's clothing because they have it on little hangers at the end.
I like how Skull just looks at his, like, little, you know, bandana and how, like, tiny, and he's just like, oh, it's so cute. But he can't go, oh, it's so cute, because then Bulk would beat the crap out of him probably for it. But,
yeah, so this episode was kind of okay. I find it funny that I ended up with, like, all of the, like, the two kid episodes. At least Willie's actor was a little bit better than Maria.
Still got dubbed over, though.
That's true.
So with that, I got an IMDb score of a 7.0 out of 10.
Yeah. It did better than Maria.
And then now we're going to be doing For Whom the Bell Tolls, with once again my favorite segment in my mind, the quick run through, which begins at Angel Grove High School as it's hobby week with Miss Appleby. Trini starts with her doll collection. She shows Mr. Tickle Sneezer and talks of his legend. And now Rita has an idea. Jason's is karate. Zach is surfing, which we never, ever really see ever again at that point. Kim is gymnastics, and Billy is science via a volcano. Bulk and Skull aren't impressed the entire time, and then later at home, Trini talks to her dolls and then goes to bed. Squad is sent down to get Tickle Sneezer, and then Tickle Sneezer is very nervous around Rita. Billy and Trini go searching for Tickle Sneezer, who's going around collecting things, and they find him, only to be caught by him. At the youth center, Jason and Zach are sparring with Kim in tow, some Bulk and Skull shenanigans, and Zordon calls Jason, Zach, and Kimberly. He briefs them on the situation, and they morph into action. Tickle Sneezer drops the bottle, and Kim catches them, and after some dramatics, releases Trini and Billy, who morph into action. Rita makes Tickle Sneezer grow, and it's Zord time. Tickle Sneezer captures the Megazord, but the Power Sword releases them. Okay, I don't know how they can call for the Megazord when you can't use the communicators inside the car when you're trapped in a bottle, but sure, we'll go with that. Tickle Sneezer actually then returns everything he took, and then Trini wakes up and she finds Tickle Sneezer on the floor. Was this a dream?
Yes.
Back at school, Bulk and Skull show their flea circus for Hobby Week, but the fleas are on Miss Appleby instead. Not gonna lie, really good flea circus can be pretty banging. So with that said, this episode for Whom the Bell Tolls clocked in at 20 minutes and 16 seconds.
So first of all, I have this episode down as For Whom the Bell Tolls because I literally kept forgetting the word trolls is in the name of the episode when I was taking my notes. So while you were doing the quick run through, I went into my notes and corrected the title. But this episode is largely dumb. First of all, because it's revealed that this is all a dream and we learn Zach isn't just surfing, which this has never been brought up previously and will never be mentioned again. Like, you could have just said music and dancing. Like, that would have been fine. We weren't expecting anything new.
He could have easily have done hip-hop keto.
Right. And, like, I guess the most surprising is, like, Trini, but that's because I guess Trini is just there for whatever the writers need her to be.
Definitely a Trini episode, though.
Yes, definitely a Trini-focused episode. But it's so weird. Also, a couple of notes I made, and maybe somebody who listens to the episode can correct me, but one of the dolls that Trini described as Japanese was actually wearing a traditional Korean outfit. I don't think I'm wrong, but I could be. So if I am wrong, I apologize, but that was the impression I got. But one of the other things, speaking of different cultures and different countries, there is a scene where you can actually very clearly see the Tokyo Tower.
Well, they are using Sentai footage.
I know, but you'd think they'd at least review the Sentai footage. Or, I mean, granted, though, like, kids won't know the difference. Maybe there's a replica of the Tokyo Tower in Angel Grove. Who knows?
Well, keep in mind, like, when you look at the episode, like, the Day of the Dumpster, the very next episode that they did, where they did the time portal thing and they used the rocket ship to do the time portal. On the spaceship, it has a Japanese flag on it because it's the Japanese
Power Rangers.
You know,
sometimes you don't try hard enough.
And it's just the result of the Sentai, you know? I mean, technically speaking, when you see the rocket ship going down, one, it looks like it's an RC spaceship, and two, you could clearly tell that the people it's going past are all Japanese.
So that happens a lot in Power Rangers. Like, that doesn't bother me nearly as much. But anyway,
it is something that does change though once they start filming in New Zealand later on.
True.
Especially in the Neo Saban era, because what they do is that for the Japanese Sentai and Power Rangers, when they film like the out of outfit stuff, it's actually all filmed in the same location in New Zealand on purpose to try to keep backgrounds and stuff almost the same in a way, so they could change it up.
That's
a bit
cool.
I might be wrong on the Japanese part, but I know they definitely do it for Power Rangers.
So you know, Rita's really running low in the totem pole of ideas for monsters. I feel like Finster should just design his own monsters and do what he wants instead of letting Rita call the shots. But something to note, that Tickle Sneezer's not a bad guy in this episode. He's just like, I'm big now. I'm alive. I'm going to do what I normally do. And then when somebody tells him that it's wrong, he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll put it all back. Which, again, makes this episode pointless. It doesn't even reveal that much about Trini, in all honesty. Okay, she collects dolls. Whoop-de-doo. We'll never hear it mentioned again. Like, ever.
Like Zach's birthday.
Or, you know, the fact that Zach's a surfer. So it's just, it's so dumb.
Well, I'm happy to report to you this episode clocks gets an IMDb score of a 6.0 out of 10.
What? No.
Yes.
It's a 5.0 at best. I would not have given it anything higher. Is this just like some weird childhood nostalgia?
I don't know, but to be honest, like for the show itself, there's like over almost 300,000 reviews for it. And then for the episodes, it can range between like 200 to like 500 per episode, depending on the episodes.
Unbelievable.
So with that, ladies and gentlemen, I've already alluded to the next episode, and that's Happy Birthday, Zach. And here's everyone's favorite segment as I do the quick run through. At the youth center, Billy's kinkomatic is having issues. Poor Ernie. Poor Ernie. Bulk and Skull come and try to ruin things, but get embarrassed instead. Ernie warns the gang that Zach is on his way, and they rush to hide everything and themselves. Zach shows up, and Ernie gives him the runaround. We then see Babu and Finster creating a sword, and Squat being useless. Rita casts a spell on the sword, however. At Angel Grove High School, we see Zach approach Kim and talk to Kim as she plays stupid as to regards to what day it is. He walks by the others, all depressed. They know that Zach will love his surprise party. At the park, Zach dwells, but Rita shows up with the nasty knight. Zach Morrison fights the knight. Goldar then gets in on the action. Zordon informs the others, and they morph into action. However, the knight wrecks all of their weapons, and the power blasters have no effect. Rita makes the knight grow, and it's sword time. The battle not going well for the Rangers, Zach figured out why they kept on failing, and they utilize a new plan to take down the knight. Back at the youth center, the Rangers surprise Zach for his birthday. And that was Happy Birthday, Zach, which clocked in at 20 minutes and 15 seconds.
Why can't they wish this poor child a happy birthday even? Like, you don't have, like, it's not going to reveal the surprise party. I hate the trope of the person pretending to have forgotten somebody's birthday only to then throw them a surprise party. You can say happy birthday and still, you know, do a surprise party. No one ever expects a surprise party. Who?
That part was stupid. I'll have to let Ben and Brian know that we need to purposely forget to tell you happy birthday on your birthday and surprise you at the very end of the day at like 11:59 at night.
Yeah, this is why you guys are not my friends. No, just kidding. But it's fun seeing Billy invent stuff, especially when it malfunctions, but what is really interesting is, of course, Rita hears about a birthday. So Rita decides that they need something to disrupt everything. But there's an interesting bit here when there's like a TV. There's like Ernie is a fan of the Power Rangers. And they actually start having a discussion of like, who do you think the Power Rangers are? And Jason says they're aliens, which is kind of funny in so many ways because we do sometimes get alien Rangers. But it's also funny because technically Zordon is an alien. So it's kind of fun reflection.
Well, that part is debatable about Zordon being an alien.
Is Zordon from Earth?
Potentially, yeah.
No, he's from Altar.
Yeah, that's true. Shut up, Meg.
Altar is not on Earth. Bite me.
Hey, we gotta have some banter on here. Come on now.
So the knight has a pretty cool design overall. I like the sword that they make for him. Kim, again, I hate this birthday cliche. I really, really do. But I have an interesting note here that I really don't remember the context behind. I said the Rangers will do for Angel Grove what Batman did to Gotham. Now, this can be interpreted in a couple of different ways. Because if you think about it, sometimes the Batman villains end up being a reflection of the mistakes of Batman or Bruce Wayne. Here, it seems that all of the monsters are a reflection of what is going on in the lives of the Power Rangers. So, in a way, if they sat in their houses and didn't do anything, Rita would have no idea how to make what to make a monster out of.
That's true. That is true.
like, imagine if the Power Rangers quarantined for 6 weeks, Rita would just be bored, and then they could use that time to build a machine, go to the moon, and destroy the palace. Problem solved! Look at that. I saw Power Rangers in, what, 10 episodes?
Yep.
I mean, it's just, it's so... That's all I got. I'm shutting down the notebook.
All right. So with that said, happy birthday, Zach. Got an IMDb score of a 7.5 out of 10.
Why? 6.5, maybe. But come on. I don't understand people.
So with that, Sasha, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Geekgirl101.tumblr.com. Geeky Captain on Instagram, and of course that website where I cry myself into a corner on all of the things that Marvel is doing to me at geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com.
And of course for me, you can always find me at the Twitters at thelindabomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75production. And of course, everything's on the website of txhdhockey.com, and for the show /VFTG, which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. And of course, obviously right now, lots of playoff hockey being covered on the site. So with that, Sasha, take us out.
With that, thank you for listening, and may the Schwartz be with you.
And until our next episode, grab your morphers, and may the power protect you.
Ay, 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 ay.